and we just throw love out there. We throw it out there. But love, listen, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for a friend. And I'm just, listen, they said lay down his life. That's the key, that's the part. But the part that gets me is the word friend. I always say the word friend. He calls me friend. Anybody blown away that the God of the universe, who's perfect without sin, who made everything, will call you friend? Anybody grateful for that this morning? Anybody, raise your hand if you got any friends who got any kind of influence. Anybody got any friends with some influence? Somebody maybe a politician, a professional athlete. If y'all know some, if you got some acquaintances, somebody you know that's got some influence. Anybody? Governor, mayor, something. See, you know, look, it's kind of, we get excited when we have friends of influence. You know, all of us say, you know, I know such and such, he's a friend of mine, right? But when you can say that the God of the universe calls me friend, I'm a friend of God. No matter who the friend is in this life, nobody got that kind of power. Amen? Person in the White House don't have that kind of power. The one who calls me friend can speak a word and hang the stars in space. Aren't you glad I had that kind of friend? Anybody been in trouble in this life? You had some situations you went through and you picked up the phone to call a friend. Y'all remember that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You remember that show? And they give you a lifeline and one of them said, phone a friend. Anybody been in trouble and you try to phone a friend? Listen, I'm so glad that I got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh my God. I got some good friends in this life. My friend Wayne, he's back there. I got friends in this life. But guess what? No friend can treat me like he does. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Y'all still sitting? I don't understand why you're not clapping it right now. Because I don't know about you. I got problems in my life. I got situations. I got stuff in my life that weighs me down even while I'm talking to you. But I'm so glad that I can go to the God of the universe. Oh, my God. And I told you earlier, he said he got plans for me. And he said, Dwayne, no matter what you go through in this life, I'm going to work it for your good and my glory. You still didn't get it. Y'all still didn't. I'm going to preach. I promise you. I'm going to preach. But listen, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. I wish somebody would say so in here this morning. Hallelujah. Has he been good to you in spite of you? Even when I didn't get it right, he's still faithful. He's still good. He keeps blessing me in spite of my mess. Oh, we serve a good God today. And we said, listen, I just want to say I love you more than anything. And I can say that is because he demonstrated his love by hanging on a tree for me. I didn't deserve it. Matter of fact, I was among the number who put him on the cross. Oh my God. But he still did it just for me. I'm glad about that this morning. Amen. Can we give him a round of applause today? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, God. We glorify your name, oh God. You deserve the best praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, God. When I held back my praise, God, thank you for being patient with me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's a good God. He's a good God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. And then he has the nerve to allow us to participate in his work in the world. What a great privilege. This morning as I was coming here today, I said, Lord, I don't know what I was going to say this morning, but God, I just thank you for letting me be a vessel. And do you know I'm here, but you're a vessel. We're just vessels, channels only. Blessed Master. Just ask him to let you be a channel for his glory. Get out of his way and let him do his thing. Amen? And when he does it, listen, when he uses imperfect vessels, we had this talk this morning. I know they won't mind me saying this. You know, the praise team was getting ready to go up, and I just already had told the Lord, I'm not quite ready this morning either. And the praise team, I can see they were feeling a little nervous. I said, anybody feel not ready? They said, they raised their hand. I said, good. That's how God wanted. He wants you not ready so that he can show that, listen, I'm always ready. I'm always ready. I'm ready to, listen, he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So when you're in your life right now where you are, no matter what God has called you to, you might feel, God, I'm not prepared for it. I'm not equipped for it. He said, I know you weren't. That's why I called you. Because I need somebody ain't equipped so all the world know that I did it. I did it. It wasn't your education. It wasn't your preparation. It was none of that. It was all of my power so that I can get all the glory. Because the whole goal is to draw more people to him. Amen. How many believe that's what we're here for today? Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. I promise y'all, I hadn't planned to say none of that. Amen. But God is good. Today, I just want to, listen, let me say it again. Welcome. If you're a guest here, can we give all of our guests a round of applause this morning? At home, you're here with us too. We welcome you. We want to give you a round of applause and welcome you. If you're a guest, look, could you put this up on the screen, fellas? If you're a guest, we want you to do this. Just text the word new to 301-804-2520. If this is your first time joining us, if you're in the building, you can do that. At home, you can do that. If you're in the building, listen, I think we have some connection cards or some guest cards in the cafe out there. If you're in the building and you're a guest, we have a gift for all of our guests who are here today. Amen. So before you leave, if this is your first time or your 101st time and you have never received the gift, you need to go to the cafe. So make sure you get your gift and we can get your information this morning. Amen. If you could, I'm excited about getting to the word this morning. Again, y'all know we are right up on Easter. We are 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday. Amen. It came fast. Amen. Next week is Palm Sunday. And we've been talking about being good news people because the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. And God is calling us to carry the good news. Bible says that in Romans, how will they hear without a preacher? Right? How will they hear without a preacher? And the preacher got to be sent out. And God has called each of us to be that preacher, to be that voice. He said he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, it says he's making his appeal through us to tell the world the good news. And as I started this series 3 weeks ago, I said, look, this is our third week. Oftentimes we have good news, the gospel is good news, but what we're communicating is not necessarily good news. Sometimes the church, people are rejecting the good news because that's not what we're presenting. We're presenting something else. I don't know. It's a political agenda, some of your own ideas, some rules, regulations we try to get people to follow. And like I started our series, I'm going to give you the same analogy. As a doctor, oftentimes people come to my office and they don't come back, not because they didn't like me, but because they didn't like the people out front. And they'll come and tell you later, what happened? I ain't seen you in a while. Dr. McKinney, last time I was in your office, the lady out front was so nasty, I just left and I never came back. Dr. Hutchinson, Dr. Davidson, you know, you all have had, sometimes you got to hire the right people out front. And if you don't have the right people out front, it can mess up your whole practice. And sometimes I'm figuring it out in the church, the people out front, which is us, keep people from getting to the master. Because when they come to the house of the Lord, we talked about last week about those four faithful friends who got to the house that was full of church folks, and the sick man couldn't get in because the church folk were too callous to get out the way so a paralyzed man could get to the master. Sometimes the impression that we give to people, what we let off, what we're communicating is not actually good news, and people are turned away from getting the deliverance that they need. So what we're talking about over these last couple of weeks is being good news people representing or representing Christ to the world. It says representing, but I think we could call it representing, because we need to represent Jesus, because the Jesus that has been presented sometimes ain't the right one. Amen. Amen. As I was preparing for this, one of the things that I found, I looked at some statistics and I found an article that was very interesting. Then I'm going to read some of the results of it to you, but let me pray really quick. Can we all bow your heads with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your unconditional love. Now speak to us today. For those of us who name your name, help us to be good news people, to represent Christ to the world in the proper way. And for somebody today who came today, Lord God, who's never come to accept Jesus Christ, who's never even heard this good news, I pray that you'll open their ears and open the eyes of their hearts so they can see you and receive your truth today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an article I was reading in preparation for this morning, and it said this. It was interesting. It said, research shows that 59% of millennials who grew up in the church have dropped out. 59% of millennials who grew up in the church have dropped out. Now, millennials, that age bracket, I think is people born between 1981 and 1996, I believe. At 1981 to 1996, if that's you, you're a millennial. Those people in that category, can you imagine? 59%, over half of millennials who grew up in church said they dropped out. And the question that you have to ask is, why is that? And I'm glad you asked. The article goes on to say, they cited several reasons. And I'm going to read to you some of the reasons that is sad this morning. It said, number one, reason one is that the church is fake. They believe the church is fake. There's too many hypocrites in the church. I can agree because I'm one of those hypocrites. Amen. All of us are. I told you, everybody in here is a hypocrite. That's why we need to be here. Amen. The church is exclusive, meaning that this is just kind of, there's no room for anybody not like them. It's too exclusive. Third reason, the church doesn't care about their community. That's painful. Fourth one is the church is aggressive and hypercritical. 52% of those surveys said that the church is too aggressive and hypercritical. The ones who are supposed to be showing love, people say, man, they're just too abrasive. And then it says the church is irrelevant and ignores the big issues. This is some other ones that the legitimate doubt is prohibited in the church. Another one is that people are not finding community. And these last two are really sad. One is that they're not learning about God. 59%, I've dropped out of church. Why? Because when I go to church, I'm supposed to learn about God. I ain't learning about God at church. Where they're supposed to go to learn about God, people are not learning. And the final one is this really sad, is that they said that God is just missing in the church. What does that say about us as the good news people? And that's a category. If you look at churches all over, even in our church, you see that's a group of people that said, where are they? Almost 60% of them said, I'm done. I grew up, I'm not learning. The church hasn't identified what's going on in the community. And when you read all of those reasons, they go directly opposed to the message of the scripture. What the scripture tells us to be, that says, look, when the people see us, they see something completely different. I find it interesting. My kids said this to me this morning. We were doing devotions, me, Mira and DJ, and they was like, well, why is it always the devotion has to do with what we were just talking about? And this morning's devotion was talking about being living letters. That when you share the gospel without using it with your life and not your words. You can share the gospel with your life and not your words. I said, wow, y'all, I had no idea this was a devotion this morning, but it's so fitting that so many people saying the life that the Christians, that the church, that the good news people are portraying is completely opposite the Bible, so I don't want anything to do with that. In fact, if God is not in the church, people are not learning about God in the church, people are not finding community, what people are saying is the church is essentially dead. And God has called us to be alive. So this morning, we're going to come from the topic. Listen, I don't know if y'all have ever been to a party, but listen, some of y'all before you were saved or now, even now, you've been to a party, you've been to the club. If it's not live, you're ready to go home. If it's dry, and then you're like, man, I got to get out of here. Let's go to the next spot because I'm about to fall asleep in here. What God is calling us is the church. When people come here, they should not experience being dead. It needs to be all the way live. And what God is calling us to be is alive. And too many people are not coming to the Savior because the ones who are supposed to be alive are not demonstrating life. The Bible in Mark chapter 6, verse 15 says, listen, what Jesus commanded us to us in Mark 16, 15 says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the what? Good news to everyone. Good news is something, when you got something that's good, it's live. And too often we're not presenting the good news. And if we're going to be the church God has called us to be, if we're going to be good news people, we've been encouraging you over these next few weeks. Easter is in 2 weeks. Man, start setting the table and invite some folks to church on Easter. Listen, it says that most, a lot of people in our population, has been a 30% decline in people coming to church. 30% of people who used to come say, I don't go anymore. And then there's another 30% who say, I only go to church on Easter and Christmas. You got some friends who are what we call Christers. Christmas and Easters. What we'd like you to do is invite them this Easter. And if you've been setting the table, if we've been inviting people to church to come on Easter or whenever, we got to, what kind of church are they going to find? And I'm not necessarily talking about the building. I'm talking about we make up the church. When we invite them to the church, where the people who are the church gather, what will they find? Will they find people who are alive or dead? And I believe that God is calling us. He shows us an example in Acts chapter 2 of how the church is supposed to be, how we are supposed to represent ourselves to the world. If you look at Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, I'll be out of your way shortly. It says this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And what was the result? And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And now I love verse 47. It says what was happening is a result of how the church represented itself. And there's four to five things that I want to see in this passage about being alive. Y'all know I got an acronym. The word is alive. Somebody say alive. Church, we ought to be alive. The five things that you see in this passage about the church A, had an affection for the word of God. They had an affection for the word of God, and they devoted them. Listen, verse 42, the first part. They devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. The church ought to have an affection for the word of God and sound doctrine. Y'all heard one of the reasons why people left the church? They're not learning about God. I'll never forget. Some of y'all heard me say this. I went to go preach in a church in Virginia. I'm not going to say the name of the church. I can't even remember the name of the church. Actually, it was years ago. And I preached the sermon, and afterwards, I preached the sermon, gave the gospel in presentation, and a woman came up to me and said, listen, brother, I want to thank you for bringing that word. I've been here 20 years, and I've never heard the gospel presented like that before. How are you in church 20 years and you never heard the gospel? What is happening is they said, listen, the church ought to have an affection for the word of God. What is happening, church? We got an affection for self-help, personal development, but we do not have an affection now for the word of God. The Bible says there will come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. But as the church, we ought to teach the word of God. Too often we got other stuff that we teach and it's not even in the word of God. So many people are turning away from church because we're putting rules and regulations on people you can't even find in the scripture. The Bible don't say that. We got things that because we like to follow rules and regulations to help keep us in line and in check. But when you look in the scripture, it don't teach that. But you won't know it don't teach that unless you have an affection for the word. You got to love God's word. You ought to, the Bible said we ought to desire his word more than our food, our daily portion of food. This church said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know what that is? Discipleship. When we come, when someone comes to know Christ, now we need to teach them how to walk with Jesus. And how you learn how to walk with Jesus is the Word of God. You can't get it all on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You got to sit down and sit at His feet and have a love for His Word. Why is it so important to have a love for His Word? Because in John 1 says, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what, was God. Because He is His Word. And I read, God is starting to show me, Dwayne, don't just open the Word to get what how you're supposed to live for today. Open the Word because I'm in here. And you want to know more about me. Not another rule to follow, but I want to know your heartbeat. If you're in a relationship, you spend time with the person because why? You want to know how they tick. You want to show how much I appreciate you. That's one of the things my wife will tell you, that I'm going to tell you, I drop the ball sometimes. You know, sometimes date night, I drop the ball. Date night, amen. She's shaking her head, yeah, you're right. You're right. The other day, I'm going to give an example. I had said, listen, every Monday we're going to have date night. And sometimes she don't even say nothing. I said this to some of a brother the other day. I said, look, bro, I miss date night. I'm in trouble. I said, she ain't even said nothing. I left home. She ain't even said nothing. He said, I know, but that wife nerve in the back of your neck, you can feel that wife nerve in the back of your neck. I said, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Because what a date night says to her, listen, yeah, you're a bit, but this, look, I matter to you. You don't even have to do nothing. We just sit, watch a movie, sit and eat. But because I'm making you a priority. When I, listen, I have an affection for His Word. Lord, I don't just want to know more information, but I want to have more intimacy. People are leaving church because there's not an affection for the Word. The Word is not, listen, the Word is even absent in the pulpit. We got to teach the Scriptures. We had, and once people come to know the Scripture, you listen, get to understand the heartbeat of God. We got to, listen, we have to, a God-honoring church. We got to put a premium on His Word, y'all. Now get it, I didn't say a premium on do's and don'ts. Put a premium on the Word. Too often when we think we're putting a premium on the Word, we're just putting premium on different rules that people ought to follow. Are there things that God wants us to do in the Word? Yes, but the more I understand the heartbeat of God, the more my heart changes, and I want to do those because I get to know Him better. Not because I'm trying to stick to some strict code of conduct, but because I love Him. Listen, it's verse 31. In verse 31, it says there were 3,000 were added to that number every day. What? Because they had an affection for the Word of God. God tells us to go and make what? Disciples, not converts. A disciple is a follower of God. Look, a student, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Church, the reason why that we, if we're going to be the kind of church God has called us to be, if we're going to be good news people, we got to know what the good news is. And you only find that out by being devoted to the Word. Can I tell you this? That goes beyond Sunday morning, y'all. Sunday is great. I want the place to be packed on Sunday. But if I don't touch the Word until next Sunday, that's a problem. That's a problem. You know what that's like? That's just like, you know, anybody who has small children. You all know sometimes, you know, they, when small children, I remember that what they used to do with little ones is they'll take the food and they'll chew it for them a little bit, and then they give it to them. That's what you do with a baby. You got to chew it for them a little bit, and then you give it to them. See, that's what happens when you just get it on Sunday morning. Somebody done gone and prepared and chewed it up, and the pastor had done all of that, and they give it to you on Sunday. But once you grow up, you say, if I started chewing food up and gave it to DJ, he'd be looking like, bro, you good? What is this? I don't want that. What? I want, matter of fact, he eat more than I do. We fight over food. And when you're grown, you say, no, I want to get it for myself. Yeah, that was good Sunday, Pastor. I appreciate that. But now with old taste and see, he's good. He gave it to me Sunday. That's why our small groups, what we do based on the sermon, so that once we got it on Sunday, now we can go and chop it up during the week, figure out more about this Word. Have an affection for his word. That's A. A is an affection for the word of God and sound doctrine, sound teaching. Not just, listen, emotion is good, but listen, you gotta understand the heart of God. But the letter L in this church, I love, if you look at this church in Acts chapter 2, they were also loving and like-minded. They were loving and like-minded. Look at what it says. They devoted themselves not just to the apostles' teaching, but and to the fellowship, the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to what? Fellowship. They were loving and like-minded. Verse 44 says they had all things in common. This was a loving church. And they were like-minded. They were united. If you go down to chapter 4, verse 32, it said they were one, united in heart and mind. What does this mean? They genuinely cared for each other. When people come to the body, when they come to the church, when they see the church, the Bible said they will know we are Christians by the love we have for one another. That's how people know. Without you saying a word, it was a loving place. People ought to feel accepted and loved. They ought to feel accepted and loved in the body of Christ and in church, no matter where they are. I love it. I remember I was talking to my wife this morning, and I have a couple of my basketball players. Some of y'all know we started the AAU program last year. And last week, one of my parents was coming to church. Two of my kids came to church with me last week. And the mom said, look, he don't have nothing to wear. He don't have no clothes. I said, come on. Yeah. Yeah. We love him just like he is. When you come here, no matter what you come in, no matter what you look like, no matter where you come from, it's going to be love. And you're going to get to feel the same love from me as you do from that brother over here, from that sister over here. Why? Because we're united in one mind and one heart. We're looking at the big picture, the gospel. We got to be loving and like-minded. I love it. Can you imagine a place where people came and where there was no poverty in this church? There was no poverty in this church. They had everything united. When one person was hurting, the rest of the body said, look, let's come together and meet the need. That's the kind of place God is calling us to be, a loving, like-minded church. You know, too often, as the body of Christ, I thought about this analogy this morning as we were getting ready, that sometimes we talked about people, they said the church is sometimes too abrasive and hypercritical. Abrasive and hypercritical. It's the reason why we have to be loving and like-minded, because, you know, sometimes people say, well, church folks, we don't want to be too accepting of sin. We don't want people feel like they're okay in their sin. That's fine. God can change all of that. That's not my job to do that. I just got to love on people. And I've heard it said that, well, the gospel sometimes is an offensive message. Yes. The message that if you don't know Jesus, you will go to a Christless hell. That's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow. But too often, I think we get excited about telling people that. You're going to hell. And you know what it reminded me of? Anybody ever been to a doctor got bad bedside manner? Anybody? Bedside manner is everything. As a physician, sometimes, I'm a podiatrist. There are some patients in my career that I've had to perform amputation on. I cannot tell you how many amputations that I've done. When I go into a patient's hospital room and I have to tell them, listen, Mr. Such and Such, Mr. Such, we cannot save this portion of your foot. We're going to have to remove that. I can't just go and say, look, we're going to have to cut it off. The nature of what I have to do is hard. The message is hard for me to tell, but the way I tell it makes all the difference in the world. The gospel, the message of the gospel is, listen, it's a rough message. Look, that you're a sinner. Nobody wants to hear they ain't good. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And it also said, listen, the wages of sin is death. That ain't easy. But the way I present that makes all the difference in the world. I come in and tell you, look, I'm going to cut your foot off. The person looks like, what? Hold up, time out. You're going to do what? If I come in there to them and say, listen, Mr. Such, look, we tried everything we've had done. Good. I'll show you the x-rays. I'll show you what the MRI says. And at this right now, if we don't do this, look, this is the consequence. What we want to do, we want to preserve your life. Because if I don't do this, you know what? This can go septic. You can get an infection that will spread through your whole body and lose your whole life. So what we're going to have to do, and we're going to try to preserve as much of it as we can, but we're going to have to take this so that, well, you can live. And when we take it, you're going to feel so much better. And that person, yes, it's hard to tell that they're going to lose the portion of them that was with them all of their life. But when they recognize, when I do that, oh, it's going to be some deliverance. I'm not going to be sick anymore. The infection will go away. I feel so much better. The message is hard, but the way the doctor presented the message made all the difference. That's the gospel. We're supposed to be loving. Yeah, the message, it can be a rough message. But when we present it the way it's supposed to be presented, man, people can understand it a whole lot better. This church, they had an affection for the word, but they were loving and they were like-minded. This is something the Lord gave me. Listen, one thing I know, when a church is loving and people are like-minded, you get more people willing to commit to serve. See, in this church right here in Acts 2, people were serving. And a lot of churches, at the pastor, sometimes it's hard to get people to serve. It's hard people, you know, you got the, you know, usually it's a 20% thing. You got 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. But what I found out a lot of times, sometimes in churches, it's hard to get people to serve because there's the caring is not there. See, when you have caring, then there comes connection. And once you get connection, then you get commitment. People need to know that you care more than they know that you, they don't need to know how much you know more than they know how much you what care. This church was a loving church. They were a like-minded church. And I believe they were like-minded. Why? Because they had an affection for the word. When we all have an affection for the word, we all will think like-minded. Why? Because we're thinking what? We're all operating off of the same playbook. We're all operating off of the same playbook. Yesterday, we had a basketball game, and Brother Marvin, I praise God, has been helping me coach. And we were on the bench, and our boys were playing. And at one of the timeouts, he said, Pastor, this is what I think we need to do. Before the boys come in and for the timeout, let the two of us talk and get our message together, and then you present the message. Why? So we're not getting a message from me, from you, and from Coach Ashley. It's not all these different messages coming to the boys. It's confusing. So we're all on the what? Same playbook. When we're all on the same playbook, we communicate the same message of love. We're like-minded. In loving. This church had an affection for the word. This church was known by being loving and like-minded, but I love it. This church, I was also known for inspiring worship and incredible wonders. Verse 43 says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. A deep sense of awe. The word awe means amazed or to be in reverent fear. That is worship. What happens? This church was known by inspiring worship. Church, we ought to be known for inspiring worship. It said all the while they were praising, verse 47, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Inspiring worship ought to be a mark of the church. It ought to be a mark of the church. Listen, that's why I said, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. One of the things I read this, it says, listen, God-honoring worship should always be reverent, but never be rigid. God-honoring worship should always be reverent, but never be rigid. When I think of all his goodness and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Anybody ever, I said it before, how many of y'all have ever had a case of that can't help it? I had one this morning. Sometimes, you know, life can get us all bogged down and confused and distracted. Amen. We in a distracted age. We got our phones. We got all of these things distracting us. And sometimes it's even hard to get into his presence. But God said, listen, when we're the kind of church that has been delivered from what God has delivered us from, we ought to be marked by inspiring worship. Be in awe of him. And just imagine, if everybody who is working off the same playbook, been saved from the same sin, comes into one group, what should that sound like? I just can imagine the Old Testament and that worship and praise. When you look at the Psalms, that's a whole lot of noise. Amen? And people tell me all the time, I'm a quiet person. That's fine. You can be a quiet person. But listen, all of us in here, I know one thing. When I am excited about something, I make some. I make some noise. Y'all know I'm a sports fan. My family could tell you I act a straight fool sometimes in front of sporting events. Now, those people on TV have done nothing for me, but I know somebody who saved me from sin, woke me up this morning, put food on my table. Oh, God. And when I get in a building with other people who say, look, he put food on my table this morning too, woke me up, delivered me, all of us together, there are people in the neighborhood say, what is going on down there? Why? It should be inspiring. We should be marked by inspiring worship. When we come into his presence, we're in awe of all that he has done for us. This church was marked by worship. It said a deep sense of awe came over them all. Church, I believe, I don't mind us being casual sometimes in our dress, but sometimes we're too casual in our approach to God. We have stopped being in awe of him and recognize whose presence that we're in. And when his presence, that's why the name of our church is Encounter Life Church. I tell you, Psalm 27, for the one thing that I desire of the Lord, the one thing I seek is to dwell in his house and inquire in his temple and behold his beauty. I don't know about you, I want to see him. I want to see him move. And when you do that, you can't help but be in awe of him. Isaiah said when he saw him, he said, listen, in the year that King Uzziah died, listen, I saw the Lord and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he said, I was no good. I can't wait for the Sunday when the place is no good. Folks just falling on his face because, Lord, you're my king. I'm in awe of you today because he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Affection for his word, loving and like-minded, inspiring worship. But you know what comes with the inspiring worship? Known from inspiring worship and incredible wonders. Look at it. Incredible wonders. He says, listen, the people, what was happening, a deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed what? Many miraculous signs and wonders. You know, in my devotion this week, you know, God is a God of signs and wonders. He's a miracle-working God. Now, the Bible said also the wicked generation seeks a sign. You're not always seeking signs, but God, how many know that he's still a miracle worker? And oftentimes, because in this day and age, sometimes you see the miracles that God works in Scripture, and some of us are not seeing necessarily that in your life, then what happens, we begin to develop doctrines, and we begin to develop theology to try to explain away why we're not seeing the miracle. God can still do it today. If he did it before, he can do it what? Again. And it's not our job to sit and explain away why we're not seeing a miracle. What God wants to do is worship him. I believe oftentimes the miracles we're not seeing is because we're not in awe of him. He said, listen, in the scriptures, when Jesus came through, he said he didn't do too many miracles in his own area. Why? Because of their lack of belief. They weren't in awe. He said the apostles performed many signs and wonders, but the signs and wonders happened because of the deep awe that they had of God. I believe that when God develops a worshiping church, people that are in awe of him, that will worship him for the miracle that he's performed in your life already, that your eyes will be open and see him do more miracles. God wants to do the supernatural in your life. How many know he's a supernatural God? But God said, why am I going to do more supernatural if you ain't even thankful or in awe of the miracle I gave you this morning? You're taking for granted that I just woke you up this morning, and now you want me to do something else crazy? God said, look, if you just worship me for what I've already done, how many this morning got enough in your life that you can look back over your life and think things over? Think about what he's already brought you out of and what he's delivered you from and the miracles he's already wrought in your life. God said, if you could just be in awe of that, worship me, and don't get too comfortable. Sometimes we got so comfortable with God, we lost sight of the miracle he worked. We lost sight of the provision that he's given to us. God said, I'm ready to pour out more miracles, y'all. I'm ready to do more supernatural in your life, but I'm ready for you. I'm looking for you to be in awe of me. That the wonders follow the worship. The worship doesn't follow the wonders. Too often, we want to worship God. We want God to do something so I can give him praise. God said, no, I already did it. Praise me for what I've done. Because listen, me saving you is a miracle in and of itself. Worship me for that, and then watch what I unleash on you. They had an affection for God's word and sound doctrine. They were loving and like-minded. The church was known for inspiring wonders, inspiring worship and incredible wonders. But when people come, when we go share the good news and they see the good news people, we also need to be people of the vibrant prayer. Verse 42 again, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to what? Prayer. We got to be a praying church. Vibrant prayer. It should be kind of prayer like the apostles did when they prayed and the place shook. When the place shook, that's what God is looking for us, to be those kind of people. Vibrant prayer, and we begin to pray, not just like that, but pray with your eyes open, expecting God to answer what we're praying for. Do y'all see the order? When you have an affection for his word, you become like-minded and more loving because you understand his heartbeat. And as you understand his heartbeat, what it inspires you to do to worship him more. And the more that you worship him, he will unleash more miracles. And when he unleashes more miracles, it's going to drive you to pray more because I've seen him do it. I'm going to be asking him for bigger stuff. Do you see the order? We ought to be a church of vibrant prayer. When I've seen him work miracles after my worship, God, when my next need, I'm not going to call my friend, I'm going to call him. He said they devoted themselves to pray. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Listen, don't be anxious for anything, but in all things with what? Prayer and supplication. Make your requests known unto God. And then he said, and the peace of God, which guards your heart and mind, you have peace when? When you begin to pray. We ought to be a praying church. We ought to be a praying church. Sure, I love it. I praise God for our prayer call. You know, we started a prayer call at the beginning of the pandemic when we couldn't get to church. We said, we're going to, Sister Tanya Fuller said, we need to have a prayer call. And the prayer call was designed to get us through the pandemic. I praise God. That prayer call still goes on every day at noon today. I'm here to tell y'all, look, it might be, some days it might be 3, sometimes it may be 13, well, I don't know, but somebody is praying. If you got a need, you get it to them folks on that call, they're going to be praying for you. And we got testimonies that prayer being answered while they on the prayer call. We called, and God said, listen, look, somebody got saved. We just prayed for such and such. God is working. We got to be people of vibrant prayer. Stop trying to fix it on yourself. God just told me, look, Dwayne, stop. I have a need that I'm seeking the Lord for. And my wife and I were talking about it this morning. It's something I'm just wanting God to provide for this church. And when the need kind of arose in my mind, my automatic thing was think, okay, what can I do to try to make this happen? What kind of strings can I pull? What kind of stuff can we do to make this happen? And the Lord said, don't do nothing, just pray. You're trying to fix it. Don't try to fix it. Yeah, it's a need. I knew you had a need before you knew it. As a matter of fact, when you go try to fix it, you're going to try to fix it according to your own wisdom. I got something else that I'm doing. Be still and know I'm God. I got it. God calls us to be a people of vibrant prayer. And then the last word letter in alive is E. I love it. The church ought to be known for evangelizing the lost while engaging the culture. Verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord did what? Added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Church, that's what we're here for. We're here to reach the lost. But the way we reach the lost is we must engage the culture. Now's the time where we got to go to where they are. Used to be a time where folks would come to the church. You know, we're encouraging people to invite people to church, but how many know that we are the church? We can take the church to the people. What did they say? Listen, some of these people said 59% of millennials who you grew up in church said, I do not go to church anymore. One of the reasons why is because they don't think the church cares about the community. How sad. How sad. How are we going to evangelize the lost if they don't even think we're willing to engage the community? And too often in church, we're answering questions that people ain't even asking. When we told you the first week, we have to ask what genuine questions. We got to get into, be intimate with people to understand what their needs are so that we can know that Jesus is the answer. Let me show you how he can answer that question. But we can't know that until we get out and engage the culture. We're in this post-Christian era. Do you know that many people, there's some of us, myself included, who grew up in a time where everybody went to church. Now we got generations of folks, they're young people growing up, their mama doesn't go to church, their grandmama doesn't go to church, nobody, they don't know nothing about church at all. And so we get up and start talking and sharing this gospel message to somebody based on an idea that somebody in your family knew something about God. No. I got to engage the culture and find out what is the need. What's a big question people have? Right now, people are concerned, listen, about the social injustice in our world. If the church doesn't say nothing about it, because Jesus got something to say about it. God is concerned about justice. If we're not thinking about or paying attention to what the questions that the culture is asking, when you go out to preach to somebody, you're going to offend them instead of evangelize them. You got to engage the culture. Remember I told you it's all about your bedside manner. But you got to understand what the ailment is. Church, we're in a world today that is looking for a church that is alive. That is alive. And if we are not alive, if the church does not have an affection for the world, if we don't show people that we have a love for one another as well as a love for him and a love for them, and that we're now operating on the same mind, if we're not known for being in awe of God through worship, and they're not seeing God doing the supernatural in our lives, and we ain't praying or engaging the culture, what is the good news we want to tell them? Because they looking at us and say, listen, my hand look better than yours. We got to demonstrate to them that this gospel is good news. And as they come in to the building or as they encounter us in the world, do they see us alive or dead? No power. People ought to see. Listen, I told you before that one person said, always preach Christ, but when necessary, use words. Scripture always comes to my mind. Scripture says, listen, be ready always to give an answer to those who ask you a reason for the hope that you have. And when you do it with gentleness and respect. I love that verse. It says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask. It presupposes somebody's going to ask. People don't usually ask unless they witness something that brings a question in their life. It means I got to live in such a way that makes people want to ask questions. What is different about you? Why, when life gives you hard times, you ain't complaining and cussing and fussing? How is it that you can keep your mind still at peace? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about my Savior. Church, we got to be good news people because the message we have is good news. The message we have is good news. Yes, it's good news, but sometimes it's hard news. And so, therefore, we got to be very careful in how we present it. We got to be careful with our bedside manner and presenting this good news, but also challenging, difficult news for some people to receive. And they shouldn't reject it because the presentation is bad. And look, you know, the presentation being bad, I'm not talking about the words that you say. I'm talking about the life that we model. Amen? Can we stand together? Can we stand together? All the way live. God is calling us to live in such a way that people see life, that we model the word. Every head bowed, every eye closed today. If we're going to represent Christ to the world, we got to have an affection for his word. We got to be loving and like-minded and have inspiring worship, vibrant prayer, engage the culture to evangelize the lost. Today, the message of the gospel is good news. But there is some bad, what good news presupposes that there is some bad news. The bad news side is that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are separated from God in your sins. And the Bible says that the bad news is that the wages, the payment for our sin is death. When I speak of death, I'm not just talking about going into the grave, because all of us do that. But the wages of sin is death, meaning to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. And that's not good news. That's bad news. But the good news is that God said, I did not create you for that. I designed you to be living with me in intimate relationship for eternity. And because of our sin, that relationship was broken. The good news said that God made a way to bridge that gap, to fix that broken relationship. The good news is that God said, listen, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The good news is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God so loved the world, he loved you so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is what God did. God wanted a relationship with you so bad that he sent his son Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. Sin must be paid for. All of us are guilty of sinning. Sinning is anything I act, say, or do that is against God. And the Bible says the way that has to be paid for is death. But the only thing that can pay for it is somebody perfect has to shed blood. There's no perfect human being. Only perfect one is God. So what God did, he became flesh. He came and he lived on this earth. And he did not sin, not one time, so that he could qualify to be the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And he allowed human beings to put him on a cross, and he shed his blood for you and for me. And they put him in a grave. But on the third day, he rose from the grave. Why? To justify you, to make you right with God. And now all he asks is that you admit to God that you're not perfect. The Bible calls it sin. Then you must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again to make you right with God. And finally, choose to invite him as to be your Savior and Lord. He said, if you do that, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. If you've never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life today, or asked him to forgive you of all of your sins, if you're not certain where you stand in your relationship with God and you want to get that certain today, I'd ask that you repeat this prayer after me. This is a prayer of invitation, asking Christ to come into your life, forgive you of all of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. It simply says this. You can pray it silently right where you are. Just say this to the Lord. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again to make me right with you. Today, I choose to invite Jesus Christ into my heart to forgive me of every one of my sins, to make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Give someone a round of applause this morning. I don't know who you are. If you're here and you prayed that prayer, I'm gonna congratulate you for inviting Christ as Savior, Lord of your life. At home, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. The next step, though, is we talked about having you grow to understand what that relationship with God is all about. If you look on the screen right now, if you're at home or even here, what you need to do next, I want you to text the word next to 301-804-2520. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to text the word next to 301-804-2520 so that you can know what to do next, what steps to do next, so that you can grow in your relationship with God. And what you'll get, we're going to, over the next 30 days, kind of give you some material to your directly to your device to show you how to grow closer to God in your new relationship with him. Amen. Amen. Finally, let me pray for those of you who said, look, Pastor, I pray they receive Christ, but God has convicted me. I got to get more into his word. I've kind of gotten lazy and lackadaisical in my relationship with him, and I just want to recommit my life to him, to being a better representative of him. Anybody like that, close your eyes for me one more time. Anybody say, God, Pastor, I just want to recommit myself to being the kind of Christ follower, a good news person that he's called me to be. Anybody just want prayer to say, Lord, Pastor, God, I just want to walk closer with you, be more committed to your word. Anybody want me to pray for you this morning? Amen. I see that hand. See those hands. Anyone else? See that hand. Dear God, Heavenly Father, for these hands that you see all around the building, God, I thank you for being another chance, God. And Lord God, all of us have dropped the ball. All of us, Lord God, we have good days and bad days. Sometimes we do it like we're supposed to. Sometimes we don't. We thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. And so, God, we come to you today to say thank you for being patient with us. we want to come to recommit ourselves to walking wholeheartedly with you. We praise you. We thank you. Now, Lord, continue to help us be like-minded, to make sure that we put ourselves in community to help keep us accountable to walk with you as we should. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat. Amen. Amen. At this time, bless the Lord. At this time, we're going to honor the Lord and worship with our gifts, with our giving. Amen? Amen. We praise God because, Lord, He has given us everything. He's given us the ability to get wealth. Everything that we have comes from Him. So we want to honor Him by giving to Him our first fruits this morning. So you'll see the brothers in the aisle who, if you're here, we want to give the traditional way. You can put your offering in the offering envelope and in the plate. If not, you can also give digitally. You can give via Cash App, all right, at the cash sign Encounter Life. You can give right on the website at encounterchurch.net/give. You can hit give and give that way. You can also use an app called Givelify by simply texting the word give to 301-804-2520. That will open up a link to Givelify and where you can give for the Givelify app. Amen? Amen. We praise God. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you. You for just investing in the kingdom of God. Amen. Because we want to see God do great things in this place, we as this branch of Zion, and it's going to take us, God using the gifts that He's given to us to be able to accomplish that work. Amen. Amen. We can all stand together. Today, for those of you who are with us, we praise God. Because we have something special in our fellowship hall. We said we are here. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And what happens is once they come to know Christ, He wants them to tell everybody they know Christ in the way of baptism. Baptism is me telling people, look, I've made the decision to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And today we have one. We have a service of baptism immediately follows service in our fellowship hall. My cousin, Brother Roland Christian, we all call him affectionately Spoony. That's why I've grown up knowing him as Spoony. Is that all right? It's going to be honoring and being obedient to the Lord in the service of baptism. So as a loving and like-minded community, we want to join in the fellowship hall to say, welcome to the family of God as we celebrate what God has done in His life. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for these, your people who have given, Lord God, so generously to your work. We ask now that you'll use it for the advancing of your kingdom. I thank you for the one who's coming to say, listen, I'm with him, and showing everybody by way of baptism that they are a follower of the Most High God. I pray that you'll continue to cause him to grow, continue to foster in him a love for your word. And Lord, I pray for anyone else who's here today, who's made that decision and never shown by the way of baptism, that you'll put it in their heart today as well. Now, as we leave this place, but never your presence, Lord God, help us to be good news people to represent you to the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.